Hello and welcome to the Thursday, July 20th edition of Juno Afternoon, coming at you live from Alaska's capital city, specifically the KTOO studios. Jeff Brown is the producer of the show. I'm Joan Pardis, your Thursday host, and we'll be chatting with UAS Interim Dean Paul Martin. Find out a little bit about REACH and SEAC and a bonfire happening at Montana Creek. It's a bike hike bonfire, and end with Nancy DeCharney and Orts Up. All that and more. Stay tuned.
This is National Native News. I'm Hannah Colton in for Antonia Gonzalez. Three Oregon Indian tribes are closely watching legislation on Capitol Hill that would strengthen their tribal authority and expand land rights. KLCC's Brian Bull reports the Western Oregon Tribal Fairness Act just passed the U.S. House of Representatives.
It's not the first time the bill has been introduced. In previous sessions of Congress, it languished and died. But Oregon Democratic Congressman Peter DeFazio and other delegates have persisted. And Michael Rondo, CEO of the Cow Creek Band of Umpqua, is hopeful that this session will finally see the legislation approved.
This will be approximately 17,000 acres of land that will be returned to the tribe and placed into reservation status. There are a number of uses. They range from cultural aspects, restoration projects, and effective and proper management of forests.
The bill would give 15,000 acres in trust to the Confederated tribes of the Coos, Lower Umpqua, and Siuslaw Indians as well. And it would restore governance to the Coquille Forest of the Coquille Indians. The bill is now headed to the Senate. For National Native News, I'm Brian Bull.
Award-winning writer and poet Sherman Alexie has canceled the rest of his tour promoting his memoir. The book, entitled You Don't Have to Say You Love Me, explores his complicated relationship with his late mother, Lillian Alexie. In a Facebook post, Alexie says he's felt the presence of his mother's ghost multiple times since publishing the memoir. He writes that after experiencing depression on tour, he needs to step back and, quote, do most of my grieving in private. Alexie has canceled his planned events for August and much of the rest of the year. Nebraska's 150th anniversary celebration at Ash Hollow State Park this weekend will include education about an ugly chapter of the state's history, the 1855 Blue Water Creek Massacre. Descendants of the massacre's Lakota survivors and of U.S. Army General William S. Harney will be on hand to speak about the site's history. Jim Kent has the story.
It all began when a cow that belonged to Mormons wandered into the Little Thunder camp. A Lakota warrior killed the cow for food. U.S. Army troops sent to investigate attacked the camp, and they were killed. President Franklin Pierce demanded justice, which eventually led to General Harney's troops killing 67 Lakota men, women, and children near Blue Water Creek, Nebraska. The New York Times referred to the incident as a massacre, noting the, quote, lamentable butcheries of the Indians, end quote. Karen Little Thunder is spokesperson for her family.
The brutality of the attack makes it a massacre. It was a deliberate attack meant to intimidate, to annihilate, to subjugate, to make our people fearful, and to, quote unquote, protect settlers and pioneers.
The Little Thunder family hopes to repatriate the Smithsonian Museum's collection taken from the massacre site, including items that will be on display at this weekend's event. Karen Little Thunder feels the best way for both sides to heal from the historical trauma of the massacre is to acknowledge and discuss it. She notes that a Nebraska historical marker near the massacre site still refers to the incident as the Battle of Blue Water. For National Native News, I'm Jim Kent.
Hundreds of indigenous Catholics are gathering in Rapid City, South Dakota for an event honoring the first female Native American saint. Saint Kateri Tekawitha was an Algonquin Mohawk woman who lived in the 17th century. She was canonized in 2012 and is known as the patron saint of ecology. Organizers say well over 100 tribes will be represented at the 78th annual Tekawitha Conference this weekend. For National Native News, I'm Hannah Colton.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
And by Humboldt State University, we know what it means to be rooted in community. You can get your Master's of Social Work and amplify your voice without having to leave it. The part-time online program accepts applications between August 1st and 31st. More at humboldt.edu/socialwork.
Yacht A, the Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce Convention and Tourism Department welcomes the Navajo Nation Head Start School Readiness Conference, August 21st through the 24th. Information on this event and services at siabq.org.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
It is 6 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO Live from Alaska's capital city. I love public media. Joan Pardis, your host here, Jeff Brown, producer and engineer of the show, and public media loves Juno. The BBC and PBS are in town to do Wild Alaska Live, a three-part series. First part is Sunday night. You should tune in on 360 North and check it out. Just search Wild Alaska Live and you'll get more information than you could possibly need, want, and be inspired to share it with all your friends, because Alaska's awesome and now everyone will know it. Anyway, specifically Juneau. Speaking of Juneau, it is supposed to be sunny tomorrow, highs in the mid-60s. So anyway, just wanted to share that for today. It's going to be just like this. Slight chance of rain, but the big news is tomorrow it's going to be sunny. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, and Saturday, rain likely. Currently, 62 degrees. Okay, and also for all you lunchtime walkers and everyone who takes advantage of the Great Perseverance Trail, it is going to be closed Thursday and Friday to remove debris. So you might have to change your plans not to include that trail for the next couple of days. Okay, our first guest is from UAS. We start the Thursday show usually with a representative from the University of Alaska Southeast, and Interim Dean Paul Martin is here to talk about changes in the arts and science curricula, and here she is. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Joan. Glad to be here.
Yeah. So tell us about yourself. Where you just moved to Juneau?
I just moved on Sunday. Came across on the Matanuska from Sitka.
Yay.
Me and my car, all stuffed with my gear. And for 2 years, almost 2 years, I was the Sitka campus director for the University of Alaska Southeast. You know, UAS is one university with three campuses, Ketchikan, Sitka, and Juneau. And so the provost asked me to step in for a year and fill a gap with this in the School of Arts and Sciences.
Great. So what are the changes in that particular school?
Sure. First, the dean that had been here for a number of years, Dean Karen Schmidt, was grabbed by the University of Wisconsin Colleges, and she is now the provost, starting any day now.
Wow.
And so that was the gap that the chancellor and the provost for UAS asked me to fill. But probably the bigger news, other than just a change in leadership for the School of Arts and Sciences, is a bigger change with its structure and what's going on. It's growing overnight from a school with about a little over 400 students to one that's close to 800 students. And that's because we have now taken within the school what was the UAS School of Management. So all the business programs, the accounting programs, the master's in public administration is no longer in a separate school. It is now part of the School of Arts and Sciences for UAS.
Okay, let's ask, I want to back this up a little
bit.
Sure. So there's the University of Alaska Southeast.
Yes.
Okay, and they have three campuses and an online presence throughout the region.
Right.
And then within the university, how many schools are there?
Well, that's a good question. There is the School of Arts and Sciences has always been the traditional heart, the largest of them all. There's the School of Education, which is going to become the Alaska College of Education in the next few years, and you'll be hearing a lot more about that. There's also the School for Career Education, which is right next to the Aurora Harbor here in Juneau, and then is also at the other three campuses.
Okay. And so the School of Management was its own school, and now it's merged into the Arts and Science, all the same programs, just under a different umbrella.
Exactly.
Oh, great.
Through the University of Alaska Strategic Pathways process that's been in the news a lot in the last year or so, the decision was, let's see if we can get the University of Alaska to be leaner and still serve all the needs.
A restructuring of sorts.
Exactly. And so it was having Alaska have three schools of management was a little heavy. And so UAS no longer has the structure of the School of Management, but the heart and the soul of that program, of that school, is still with us.
Meaning the courses and the faculty.
And the program of study, and you can still get your accounting degree here in Juneau, and you can still do the Master's in Public Administration here in Juneau, even though you might read the press that says the School of Management has gone away. That's simply a structural piece. Eliminates one small layer of administrative personnel, but their vibrant heart is still with us.
That sounds wonderful. So you're coming on. Here you are in Juneau. And what do you think is one of the many exciting things on the horizon for the fall semester?
Well, for me, it's just a great opportunity to knit together faculty who had been a little bit separate, but now I think there's going to be great interdisciplinary opportunities that can arise by having management and business closer to humanities and social sciences. So that's going to be a lot of fun to see that new interaction with the faculty that might not have happened as frequently before.
That sounds good. And when does the fall session begin?
August 20, the last Monday in August.
Okay.
I don't want to give you the date because I might get it wrong. Faculty come back 2 weeks before that, and I'm really, because I haven't met a lot of the faculty in Arts and Sciences, and I will be their faculty leader, their administrative lead, so I'm looking forward to seeing them.
That sounds great. And how long have you been involved with UAS?
UAS for almost 2 years now. Before that, I was with Kenai Peninsula College as the assistant director in Soldotna, and that was almost 7 years. I moved up to Alaska almost 10 years ago to live with my husband, and I haven't quite figured that out yet because he lives in Homer.
Well, what an Alaskan story.
Exactly.
Well, welcome to Juneau. I hope you love it.
Thank you. It's a beautiful city.
Yeah, well, it's hard to beat Sitka, but if anyone could do it, we can. All right, and if you want to check out what's going on at UAS for the fall session, of course, you could be a matriculated student, or you could just sign up for a class that interests you.
Absolutely.
There's some wonderful faculty members. You could check it out all online, and that's uas.alaska.edu.
Exactly right, Joan.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, the 20th of July, 2017. It's the birthday of the Italian humanist and scholar and poet Francesco Petrarca, better known as Petrarch, born in Arezzo, Italy, in 1304. He wrote epic poems in Latin that he hoped would make him famous, and they did in his day, but the poems that we know of his were the few poems he wrote in Italian, a book of sonnets about a woman named Laura, the canzoniere, or songbook of 1374. Petrarch's sonnets, which made the sonnet, the 14-line poem, popular. It was on this day, 1869, Mark Twain's Innocents Abroad was published, which established Twain as a serious writer. It was his second book, based on an assignment from a California newspaper which sent him around the world to write travel sketches. Innocents Abroad remained Mark Twain's best-selling book throughout his lifetime. It was on this day in 1875 the largest recorded swarm of locusts in America descended on the Great Plains. It was about 1,800 miles long, 110 miles wide. It went from Canada down to Texas, the Rocky Mountain locust. The total mass of this swarm of locusts was equivalent to the mass of 60 million bison in the West. These swarms would occur about once every 7 to 12 years, emerging from river valleys in the Rockies and moving to the east. It was a cloud in the sky which glinted around the edges where the locust wings caught the light of the sun. The locusts blanketed the ground nearly a foot deep. They ate nearly every living piece of vegetation in their path. Some farmers tried to scare them away by running into the swarm, and they had their clothes eaten right off their bodies. The swarms started to die down in the mid-1880s, and within a few decades the Rocky Mountain locusts were believed to be extinct. There are two of them now stored in the Smithsonian in Washington. Here's a poem for today by Ron Padgett, The Drink. I'm always interested in the people in films who have just had a drink thrown in their faces. Sometimes they react with uncontrollable rage, but sometimes, my favorites, they do not change their expressions at all. Instead, they raise a handkerchief or napkin and calmly dab at the offending liquid as the hurler jumps to her feet and storms away. The other people at the table are understandably uncomfortable. A woman leans over and places her hand on the sleeve of the man's jacket and says, "David, you know she didn't mean it." David answers, "Yes, but in an ambiguous tone, the perfect adult response." But now the orchestra has resumed its amiable and lively dance music, and the room is set in motion as before. Out in the parking lot, however, Elizabeth is setting fire to David's car. Yes, this is a contemporary film. The Drink by Ron Padgett, from his collected poems, published by Coffee House Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by Magoosh, online test prep for the ACT, SAT, GMAT, GRE, LSAT, and MCAT. Prep smart, go far, enjoy the ride at magoosh.com. And by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetrymagazine.org. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
It is 17 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Juno Afternoon, coming at you live from Alaska's capital city, specifically the KTOO studios. Jeff Brown is at the board. He is the producer and engineer of the show. I am Joan Pardis, your Thursday host, and our next guest is Joanne Flora. She is here from REACH. She's the Fund Development Director, and I guess she's putting the fun in fund because she's here to talk about a dance that's going to happen with August 5th, fundraiser for REACH, that highlights no one other than the Gamble and the High Cost of Living Band, which is a great headliner. So welcome to the show, Joanne.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about REACH, and then let's talk about what's going on August 5th.
REACH is a nonprofit agency that has been serving Southeast Alaska for almost 40 years now. We serve a population of developmentally disabled individuals, and we're kind of changing how we do things a little bit, trying to get our message out a little bit more to the community in a wider sense. So with the 40th anniversary coming up, we thought we'd do a community-wide event to sort of kick that off. Therefore, Let's Dance, which is the name of our event on August 5th, which will be at the Jack.
Great.
So we'll have a dance with a live band, Gamble and the High Cost of Living. We'll have light hors d'oeuvres, thanks to Alaskan Brewing. We'll have a beer garden and a live auction, an actual call-out, shouted-out auction with some cool stuff to give away.
Oh, that sounds great. And so it starts 7 o'clock, August 5th, and tickets are $30.
Yes.
And where can people get
the ticket? Well, the usual locations. So you can get them at the Jack. You can get them online through the Jack. You can get them at the Canvas. You can get them online through the Canvas. And you can also get them at Hearthside Books.
Okay, that sounds great. And so it's Gamble and the High Cost of Living. It sounds like a great party. And let's hear about some of these auction items. They're always fun.
Well, you know, the auction items, I'm working right now on grouping them together in packages, but we've got a couple of whale watching expeditions from Alaska Galore Tours and Allen Marine. I've got a 5-day pass to Eagle Crest, a family season pass to the Mount Roberts Tram. Wing Nut Auto Salon is giving us auto detailing. We've got a couple of really nice things from Cycle Alaska, including Bike and Brew, which you can do either before or after you do their tune-up. We've got a massage. We've got dinner and a room over at the Prospector. And Alaska Seaplanes is giving us airfare to one of their normal routes. So if you decide you want to go, for example, to the Bald Eagle Festival, there's your ticket.
Oh, that's
ready
great.
To go.
That is great. Okay, and then also a little bit more about Reach, 40 years serving Southeast.
I know. Isn't that amazing? And it's been kind of a quiet organization. As a healthcare organization, a lot of what Reach has been doing is a bill for services operation based on referrals through the medical community. Again, we serve developmentally disabled individuals. So we haven't had to be out into the community doing fundraisers like many nonprofits do because they exist solely on donations. We're looking at changing our culture now, to introduce Reach to the community. We serve 7 communities. You probably didn't know that. We have offices in 3, and then we serve 4 additional communities remotely. And we want people to know who we are, what we do, to consider us as an employer, and to seek us out for services if they have not gotten a direct referral through their family physician or a hospital. So this is a great opportunity to reintroduce Reach to the community at large in sort of a fun way, and party till the cows come home.
That's true. Definitely party till the Alaskan cows come
home. I know. And we're not going to be out there all night, of course. It's only 7 to 10. But in that 3 hours, we're going to have music and an auction and food and beer, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun and involve some of the people that we serve through Reach.
That sounds great. So if you're just joining us, we're chatting with Joanne Flora from Reach. She is the Fund Development Director, and we're talking about a dance taking place Saturday, August 5th at the Jack, 7 to 10 p.m., and it is featuring Gamble and the High Cost of Living Band, the Glaskin Brewery Beer Garden, light hors d'oeuvres, and a live auction. Sounds great. And tickets at the usual places.
Tickets at the usual places. They can always call Reach if they're not sure where to get the tickets. We've got posters up all over town now and some advertising coming out. So I'd like to sell 250 tickets. So if you could invite 249 of your best friends, we're in business.
That would be great. And what's that Reach number?
I'll give you my number. It's 796-7202. And they can call me directly if they want to.
Right.
And I can provide more information and help them acquire tickets. Or they can just wander into the Canvas or the Jack.
Okay.
Or Hearthside Books.
But you might want to buy tickets. You know, Klutz Band, sell out.
Well, you know, I'm hoping that will be the case. And if they don't quite sell out, we'll have tickets at the door.
Mm-hmm.
We won't be charging additional money for tickets at the door, but I'd rather they all sold out in advance. Will help us on the food end of things. We're pretty excited. We'll have some food coming down from the Timberline Bar and Grill on Mount Roberts. That'll be nice.
Very nice.
And the 9th Street Cafe, which is a Reach enterprise from the federal building. We have a cafe up there, and some of the clients that we serve are learning cooking skills and restaurant skills and serving food at that restaurant. They're going to make something. Our group homes, they have cooking classes. They're going to be making brownies. They like to make brownies. So we're going to actually involve some of the individuals we serve with decorating and setup and putting on the event itself.
It sounds like a great community event.
I'm really excited about it. It's the first time we're doing something quite like this. So I'm really crossing my fingers that we get really good attendance because it's going to be a good kickoff for whatever it is we come up with then for 40th anniversary. It's also going to be the 10th anniversary of the Canvas, which is our art gallery and studio. So this is the door opening for us. Kind of have a new face of Reach.
Yeah, here. You're going to hear it right now that it's going to be a party year at Reach.
That's right.
Celebrating 40 years. It's a great thing to celebrate.
Thank
you so much for coming in.
Well, thanks for letting me come by and talk about it. I'm really glad to be here.
Yeah, and if you want more information, you could check it out online or just go to the JAC website or so on and so forth.
That's right.
Okay, great. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Colette Costa Band, and Jeff put that on because Reach is having a party August 5th, and that band is playing. So we've all taken a little dance break, and now we're back in the studio, you know, getting ready for the next guest. It's 27 minutes past the hour. It's 62 degrees. The big news in Juneau, it's going to be sunny tomorrow, highs in the mid-60s. And equally big news is the BBC and PBS are in town shooting Wild Alaska Live that airs on Sunday. We love public media, and public media loves Juno, so that is great. All right, our next guest is Bryn Fluharty. She is the communications coordinator for SEAC, a local organization. She's here to tell us a little bit about SEAC and what's on the horizon for the organization. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. So at SEAC, we're the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council, and we're a grassroots group that does work on forestry issues as well as water issues. We protect the Tongass National Forest and the Inside Passage waters. And we get out and we educate people and give people the tools to help protect our Southeast Alaska home.
That sounds wonderful. And what kind of activities are coming up?
So tonight, actually, we have our third bonfire that we're hosting for the summer. It's out at Auk Rec starting at 6. And we've had these on the third Thursday for the summer, and we have one more coming up on August 17th, also out at Auk Rec at 6 o'clock. One of our larger events coming up is actually our bike and hike out to the Herbert Glacier, where we'll be talking about the history behind mining out of the Herbert Glacier and also talking about the proposed changes to our CBJ mining ordinance and how that would have an impact on mining out there and possibly opening up a number of areas in the city and borough of Juneau for mining. We did one out to the old AJ mine, and so this time we're going out to the Herbert Glacier.
Okay, I have some questions. Okay. So let's go back to the bonfire.
Yes.
Okay. Every third Thursday in the summer, you have a bonfire at Elk Rec. What does that look like? When people go at 7 o'clock to, that's a pretty good night. We'll say it's a great night in Juneau, right? And people want to go out to Elk Rec or come in from out the road to Elk Rec. What would they expect at this SEAC bonfire?
So we've got a grill going, we've got a couple of bonfires inside and outside just in case, you know, it might rain here in Juneau. And so then we've got a couple of other organizations that we usually have around. We've had Planned Parenthood and Renewable Juneau in the past, and hopefully they'll be able to come out again. And so it's just a really great opportunity to get out, chat with other people about issues such as climate change, renewable energy, all sorts of different more progressive issues.
Oh, that sounds great. So just a community event to, not just a community event, a community event where you can just hang out, learn about some issues, meet different people.
Yeah. That it's really, great. It's lots of fun, good food, good scenery.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Okay, so let's move to this Herbert Glacier bike and hike. When does it take place?
So that is coming up the 12th of August. We'll start hiking at 10 o'clock a.m. and then biking at 11:30.
Okay. And so you're going to go out to the glacier. You're going to bike or hike out to the glacier and then take a little guided tour?
Yeah. Guy Archibald in our office is going to be doing a guided tour out there. So he'll be stopping along the way on the hike, but most of it will be out at the actual glacier. And again, we'll be talking about the changes to the mining ordinance as well as some of the impacts that climate change is having on mining, because as glaciers move back, there's different places that open up. And so it's a really dynamic event. And it should be a lot of fun. We had about 80 people show up to the last one, and it was a lovely evening of learning more about the history as well as the future of Juneau.
That sounds very interesting that you could go out and get some fresh air in a beautiful environment and learn a little bit about the history and get a maybe snapshot of the present and what could happen in the future.
Yep.
That sounds great. So that's August 12th. So if people are listening and they say, SEAC, I know who they are, or this is the first time I've heard of them, which would be very surprising in Juneau, but let's say it is. How could they get involved if they want to learn more? Do you have a website, a social media presence?
Strangely enough, we do have a website and social media presence. So our website is www.seacc.org, so that's SEAC.org. And then we're also on Facebook and Instagram if you're looking for more information on our events, as well as additional events that we have coming up or events in the area that we're going to be attending. Just go to the website. We've got our events page on the website as well as on social media. So that's a great way to connect with us about events as well as volunteer opportunities and different things going on.
Yeah. And then, of course, if you don't want to do it online, you can go out tonight, correct, to the bonfire at 7 o'clock and meet people face-to-face.
Yep.
That sounds great. All right. Well, thanks for coming in and all that you and your organization do for the Tongass and Juneau and the region.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to take a short break. We will be right back.
This is Bird Note. A sweetly whistled song speeds toward a melodious trill. It's still dark, an hour before dawn on this July morning in the Wisconsin countryside. A field sparrow announces the new day. This was the first bird song Aldo Leopold awoke to on his farm in the 1940s. In his Sand County Almanac, a classic of conservation and nature writing, Aldo Leopold brought to life scenes of nature a month at a time. Picture a man sitting on a bench outside his cabin door, awaiting the dawn chorus. A cup of coffee in hand, facing, as Leopold put it, the white wake of the morning star. He wrote, "Before the field sparrows have quite gone the rounds, the robin in the big elm warbles loudly his claim to the spot in the old tree." The robin's insistent caroling awakens the oriole. Then the indigo bunting. And so it goes. Field sparrows aren't as common today as they were in Aldo Leopold's day, but conservation of natural grasslands can help boost their numbers. And the Federal Conservation Reserve Program is leading the way, helping to maintain the ideal habitat for these sweet singers. for Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
In Alaska, we don't pay income tax. We don't pay state sales tax. But once a year, every single person gets a check, the permanent fund dividend.
It is your share as an owner of the resource.
There are plenty of other oil states in the world, but Alaska is the only one that writes checks to residents every year. The history behind the money Alaskans get just for living here on the next Midnight Oil.
Support comes from Northern Audiology and Hearing Services in the Jordan Creek Center. Northern Audiology offers diagnostic medical hearing expertise and digital technology hearing instruments. 789-6780.
This is Stacia Harris from the Year of Kindness Steering Committee. As part of 17YOK, all sorts of groups are adopting specific weeks during which they do something to help spread kindness. This week's group is the Mount Juno Gastineau Lodge. You can sign up for a week by emailing 17YOK@junopolice.com. Together we can make Juno a better place to live.
To Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer. He's at the board. If we sound good, it's all on Jeff. I'm Joan Pardis, your Thursday host, and in the studio with us is Nancy Ducharney, the executive director of the Juno Arts and Humanities Council, who braved the fabulous weather to come across the
street.
It's
lovely.
It is lovely.
Yes.
It's a little warm, actually. I know, it's good. So, Nancy, what's going on in the art scene this weekend?
We actually have some really fun things going on. For one thing, tomorrow night is Friday night. On Friday, there's the Sacred Ground Cafe grand opening at Clinkett and Haida, 320 West Willoughby. That's right over here. A ribbon-cutting ceremony to celebrate Juno's newest coffee shop. So stop in there. They're going to have coffee that's coming from Klawak.
Yeah, and that's at the former A&B Hall, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It looks really nice. I've walked by
that's
there.
That's going to happen from 11 till 2, so it's a new little lunchy thing you might want to try. From 5 to 7, we have our Rock Around the Block party. This one is a mosquito market specialty, which means that if you have a bunch of junk that you want to get rid of, you can put it in the trunk of your car and come circle up the wagons around the jack in the parking lot.
We Junowakes don't have junk we want to get rid of. None of us.
Well, maybe you have junk that somebody else would like.
You mean like
treasures.
Someone else wants to get rid of in your household.
Your treasure, yes. You have treasures. Bring them. Sell the stuff, and we also have the music is Annie Be Good.
Oh, yay.
It's going to be, and I think the weather's going to be probably pretty good, so we'll probably be indoors and outdoors. The beer garden will be indoors and, you know, that sort of stuff. But so
when does that start?
That starts at 5, goes till 7.
Nice.
And, yeah.
Thank you for doing that. That's just a lovely community
thing. Well, it's fun. I think it's a great community thing. Lots of fun. You know, we... We have flowers for sale, and people bring other things down. There's face painting, all kinds of stuff. So let's see. There's a whale-watching cruise, which is, I think, to benefit the symphony. And I have a suspicion that it's sold out, but you might want to check on that. It's from 5 to 8 on Friday evening. You can call 586-HORN and get information about the ticket.
Because it's a symphony event.
That's right. They have a no-host beer and wine bar, live music, all sorts of stuff like that. Let's see. And from 5 to 8 at Nugget Mall, they're having a paint and sip party. So wet your palate, ha ha ha, pun intended, and join us. All materials and light refreshments will be provided. It's $25. More information by calling 789-4439.
Who's putting that on?
The Nugget Mall.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. Just fun activities at the mall. From 6:30 till 9 p.m., Wushkinadei open mic at Gonzo. So come on out. Anyone with three original pieces that are under 3 minutes are welcome to sign up and compete in our three-round slam hosted by Erica and Austin. So come on out there. If you want more information, you can get contact Christy Nami at ChristyNami@gmail.com. You can go to our website and get that information as well. And from 7 to 9, and like right after the block party, wander over to the Alaska Fish and Chips Company at the flight deck, and there'll be live music and cornhole, rain or shine. So that's your Friday night stuff that I've got
plenty
for you.
Plenty to do, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, plenty to do. Saturday from 10 to 6, it's the Saturday market at Nugget Mall. All kinds of things going on there. So that Nugget Mall's really got some stuff going on. You can also get a booth there if you would like. Information about that's on the website, jahc.org, by the way. From 11 to 4, it is the 2017 Summer Garden Tour, which is put on by the Master Gardeners. I've seen some pictures of the gardens that they're going to be going to. It's just gorgeous. Sometimes it's amazing what people can do in this climate. So it's a self-guided tour, and you can go online, and I think you can get tickets at the Jack, actually, about this sort of thing. So from noon to 1, the GSC pre-comp tryouts at the Diamond Park Aquatic Center. So no registration is required. Sessions start at both pools on August 7th and run for 6 weeks. So check this out. Now, there's been something going on over at the Jack that is just very, very cool. It is the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute's Voices on the Land, and it's a kids' camp where they've been learning to tell stories, do drumming and dancing. They've made their own drums, they've made their own regalia, and they've created their own story. And they will be performing at the Jack at 1 o'clock on Saturday. And I really encourage you to come and see that if you can. It's only going to be maybe an hour long, if that. But it's amazing what these kids, they're middle school to early high school, I think. So it's been really pretty impressive to watch.
Great.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Yeah.
So check that out. And then go from there. From 1:30 to 4, there's a Royal Princess Celebration at JDHS, a Royal Princess Celebration for ages 3 and up. Carnival games, bounce houses, crafts, sing-along, and a royal ball dress-up is encouraged.
Ooh.
Yes. Everybody, there's going to be a Disney princess from JDHS cheer team. So.
Whoa.
Yeah. And from 6 to 10, there's Cornhole Saturdays at the Fish and Chips Company, so come on down for that. Rain or shine. Sunday, there's the House of Wickersham tours are happening, of course, and from 1 to 3, it's Family Day at the City Museum. In July, we'll be exploring fishing in Juneau for Family Day Catch, one of our new life-size fish fact panels. So it's fun stuff to do with the kids on a Sunday afternoon. From 1 to 3, intro to pickleball.
Excuse me?
Pickleball at Zonta Kahini Middle School.
And so what is that?
Well, apparently it's the fastest growing sport in the U.S. It's a mashup of ping pong, badminton, and tennis. It's addictively fun. Baby boomers are especially encouraged. Now, I'm not sure why, but there you have it.
Okay.
So, yeah, the Parks and Rec's putting this on. You can get more information about it at 957-6011.
So embarrassed that I like actually showed my pickleball ignorance on the
it's a sport. I know about that.
You're with me on that. Okay, good.
From 2 to 3, Juno sings Sacred Harp at the Holy Trinity, a group of people who like to sing from the Sacred Harp, filled with wonderful a cappella sacred songs. So Lena Simmons leads that. Stop in there at the Holy Trinity. And there's the Community Who song at the Mendenhall Public Library at 3:30. On Monday, the Douglas 4th of July Committee is getting ready for next 4th of July again.
Oh, my.
Or maybe they're debriefing about this one. I don't know.
But they're meeting.
They're meeting, and it will be at 6:30 to 7:30 over at the Douglas Community Fire Hall. On Tuesday, we have the Wickersham Tours and the Downtown Walking Tours that start from the City Museum. But if you have the time, go over to Gustavus, where they have J.C. Venson, who is a blues guitarist and vocalist from Austin, Texas. And Annie Bartholomew will open this up, and it's going to be at Sunnyside, and it is a benefit for the new community center, which is going on over there. It's going to be great. So head on over to Gustavus.
So if you need an excuse to go to Gustavus,
there it is. Go for that, because he's not coming here. On Wednesday, we have the walking tours, a good grief walk at Twin Lakes, an English class at the public library, a Treadwell walking tour from 5:30 to 7 with Jim Garrity at Sandy Beach. He's a historian and lifelong Alaskan. So learn all about the stuff that's over in Treadwell. If you saw the Treadwell Gold, perhaps, incite your interest. And from 8 to 10, there's Ultimate Frisbee at the JD High School turf. So quite a few things for you to do and get ready for.
Sounds good. So I have some questions for you. So here we are, midsummer. Midsummer, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. So let's talk about the future Rock Around the Block party. So this week you have Annie B.
This one we have Annie B. Now you're going to ask me this, and in my head it's going to all go away. I think we have Fleet Street coming up after that, and it will be the farmers market one. So mm-hmm. Panhandle Produce will be there with fresh produce. Then we will have, I believe it is the Marimbas who will be performing, and we'll conclude with the last one will be Alyssa Fisher and her band. And then the Friday after that, that's not a Rock Around the Block party, will be our Mayor's Awards for the Arts. And we will be kicking off something with regard to the New Jack, a fundraising campaign, and it'll be our annual meeting. I forgot something very important. Next week on Thursday is the Arts Council's 44th anniversary. There will be cake.
Okay. That sounds great.
Yeah. So keep your eyes peeled for that. Come on down. I heard rumors of beet chocolate cupcakes with avocado frosting. I heard some rumors of other things. So, yeah, come on down. Help us celebrate. It's going to be fun.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
So that was my next question, actually, and you brought it up, was what is the update on the new building?
Well, we're moving right along with it, actually, and we're in design development, the end of design development, going through with red pens and looking at all the documents and all that sort of stuff. Still on target for the old Jack to be come down right after celebration of next year and be ready for it to be built in time for celebration the following year. So, and if you're at all interested, I would suggest that you come to the meeting on the 18th of August, because we'll do an update there. And there will start to be more information coming out in the paper, and you can follow us on Facebook, and we have an Instagram account and all that sort of stuff. So a lot of people working really, really hard on this project. So if you're interested in helping, we also could use that too. It's just very exciting that this community has come this far, and hopefully we will bring it to fruition.
Yeah, it's totally community-driven. That's amazing to have an art center here in our capital city.
Yes, a beautiful one.
A fabulous one. I've seen the renderings. It looks fabulous. And then what are some of the key events for the fall?
Coming up in the fall, we are going to start our season with a group called A Tribe Called Red. They're coming October 19th. They're a Canadian indie DJ hip-hop exciting fun group. That's in collaboration with Sea Alaska Heritage. We're going to bring a group called La Santa Cecilia. They're from Los Angeles, sort of a Latin, Hispanic, Mexican, fun dance band type thing. We have the holiday pops and all that sort of stuff. One thing that's just going to start that we just started this, planned it yesterday, was we're going to have the gym open on August 27th, and after that, on the last Sundays of the month, for people to just come and do arts together, arts and crafts together. So if you're a weaver or you have projects that you're working on and you would like to do them in the company of other people, and, you know, like quilting, remember quilting circles, that sort of thing, it's just more pleasant sometimes to do things and you get ideas from each other. So we're going to be doing that. This is an idea that came forth from a group that we had working at the Arts Council on a variety of diversity and equity issues, and that was one of their ideas. Let's do this. So we're doing it.
That sounds great.
Yeah,
kind of like an open art space.
Yeah, exactly. So let's see, what else we got going on? It seems like there's so many things going on some days I can't remember them all.
I can imagine. And then we're also in a new fiscal year, so there's also membership issues, isn't it?
Oh, well, we do ours on a calendar year, so if you become a member whatever day it is, then you're good for 12 months. But, yes, the Arts Council is an organization that is a membership organization similar to K2, and it's one of those things where if it's a organization that you enjoy the services of, it's a good idea to join them and help out. We use the money to help keep the Jack going and provide all the different programs that we do. We have a whole bunch of education programs coming up. I'm getting past a note. Rachel Usler, who even works for me, is doing a slumped glass workshop next week. I believe this is at the Makerspace, which is a thing out in the Lemon Creek area, which is another really cool place to do art, where they have power tools. You can go out there.
They have tools with them. Power tools.
They have power tools.
Oh, exactly.
And they have a 3D printer.
I've heard that.
Yeah, you can go out there and use these tools. But Rachel is a glass artist, and she'll be doing a workshop out there on Mondays. I believe that was a Monday. I didn't get the flyer.
Rachel is also the Crack Whiz event coordinator for Jack.
She does help you with that.
Yeah.
You got a thing going on.
Uh-huh.
So it's good to give her a call about that. And then Sherry McDonald just, she's a paper artist here in town.
Absolutely.
She makes books. She has taken on a building in Douglas and plans to open that up also as a space for artists to get together. So it's just very exciting, all these places where you can gather with other artists and get ideas from each other and talk amongst yourselves and support each other. Sometimes I think if you're just by yourself in your room, it's kind of dark and you could get gloomy.
Yeah. And also all that noise in your head can be deafening.
You need somebody else to come out. Yeah.
So
there's just a lot of, this is a delightful place to be living and doing things, and I encourage you to do those.
Well, there you go. You heard it here, you know, brand new open art space on Sunday starting August.
And August 27th. We'll see you there. It's free.
Yeah. Right. But first you have to come out because it's supposed to be sunny tomorrow. It's supposed to be sunny.
Oh, cool. Yeah, come tomorrow for the Rock Around the Block party.
Yeah, Mosquito Market if you have
things
you want to move. Not junk, things.
Yeah, treasures. You have treasures
that you're willing to part with.
Yes, all right.
Sounds great. Nancy, thank you for all that you do and your amazing staff. All right, have a great one. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Do you like your country and rock, your folk and your blues all in the same sound? Or do you like your music independent, honest, real, with blue-collar roots? Tune in to Southern Exposure Friday nights at 7 for a unique blend of Red Dirt, Americana, Outlaw, and more with me, your host, Red Stewart. At Southern Exposure Friday nights at 7 on KRNN-FM Juneau, music and arts from Alaska's capital.
There's something new in the air. It's a little soul, it's a little jazz, and it's a little bit more. And hey, this is Nod here, and I'm here every Friday night from 9 to 11. Won't you join me for Far True Radio, and I promise you, you'll be glad you did. Friday nights at 9 p.m. KRNN-FM.
You're listening to the Thursday, July 20th edition of Juno Afternoon, coming at you live from Alaska's capital city, specifically the KTOO studios. Jeff Brown is at the board. He's the producer and engineer of the show. I'm Joan Pardis, your Thursday host. And the weather is cloudy for the rest of the day. Slight chance of rain this evening. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. Yes, I said those words. Highs in the mid-60s. Friday night, mostly cloudy. Lows around 50. And Saturday, rain likely. Highs around 60. Right now, it is 62 degrees at the airport, 59 in the valley, and 62 everywhere else. So, you know, you could listen to Juno Afternoon anytime you want on KTOO.org. Tomorrow, Andy Klein is the host. And yes, I am saying this out loud. Andy will be interviewing Colette Costa to talk about what's going on at the Gold Town Theater. So that's a party in itself. You should tune in. He'll also be chatting about a new restaurant in town, Four Plates, and about a horse event on Saturday. And then the Alaskan Seafood Competition. So that sounds like a great show. Andy's shows are always great. So a couple of things going on in the capital city beside Wild Live Alaska on PBS and BBC. Check that out. The Assembly Mining Committee is scheduled to meet tomorrow at 1 o'clock in the City Hall Conference Room 224. And then we also got Christmas in July for the Juno Rotaract Club, which is the young club of the Rotary. That's July 29th, and that's Juno Rotaract and Aware. Christmas in July sounds like fun. Santa's going to be there. And then, once again, I want to let everyone know Perseverance Trail is closed tomorrow and Friday. They're going to be doing some trail maintenance, okay? And Gold Creek will also be closed, so no scampering up Perseverance tomorrow. And then, just a reminder, the construction on the Seawalk is ongoing. The Seawalk will be completed at the end of the summer. Thanks, everyone, for your patience. Okay, so that is some news about Juno. As I said, you can tune in anytime to Juno Afternoon. Just go to ktoo.org and look for Juno Afternoon. Thanks for sharing your day with Jeff and I. Have a great one.